Well, if anybody ever wanted to know what God's plan for their life is, you'll know after today. God gives us a very simple plan in the Word of God and shows us what He wants everybody to do. Now, I'm not going to give you the detail of what He wants you to do, but I am going to show you the basic plan that God has for your life. And so you might want to take some notes. And also wanted to tell you that I made a big decision after about 34 years. I decided I'd have a Sunday where I didn't wear a white shirt. I don't know if you noticed or not. That might be a sign of things to come. I'm not sure, but so there's going to be change this year, and we need to understand it. Well, basically, I'm going to give you now the plan of God for your life and other people's life as it's shown in the Word of God. And that very simply is, as soon as we get it there, that's pretty much it. God used, interesting enough, Israel. He used Israel to be an example for us. So if you study the nation of Israel and how God worked with Israel, you'll find out how He'll work with you. It's the same way. So if you go into the Old Testament, you'll find that Israel was in Egypt. They had been in Egypt for 400 years. Now, I want you to remember the 400 years because that's important. And they were there in 400 years. And over that 400 years, they became deeper in bondage and deeper in bondage, and they actually became slaves. They started out in being favored in the land, and at the end of 400 years, they were slaves to the Egyptians. Egypt in the Bible is a picture of the world. And we are all born into the world. We are born lost. We're born without Christ. No one is born saved. We're all born lost in the world. And then God wants us then to be saved, what we call salvation. So God's plan is that sometime in our lifetime, whether it's 50, 60, 70, 80 years or more, that we would receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So He wants to take us out of Egypt or out of the world. Now, if a person stays in the world all of their life and does not receive Jesus Christ, their life is wasted. Totally wasted. They might be millionaires, they might be paupers, they might be very successful in business, they might be successful in politics, they might be successful in a lot of things, but if they do not come to Christ at some time in their life is wasted.
Right.
Totally. Because they will be, when they die, they will go into a place that is separated from God. And so it's important to know that everybody needs to come to Christ. That's number one. And because the world is a place of darkness, and darkness means it does not have the light of God. God created everything, but unless the world invites God into itself, or a person invites Christ into themselves, they are lost, they are dark in darkness forever. Now, it's extremely important that they know that what we call lost is very simply being without Christ. It's because man is lost without Christ. Has really no purpose in life unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. So then it's extremely important that a person receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Once they receive Christ as their Savior, they then enter into the plan of God. They enter into the plan of God. And so it's important that you know that you are entering in to the plan of God, and I'm going to tell you what that is. Now, John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become children of God." You need to write that down. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's what the Bible says. Salvation is a gift. You do absolutely nothing to deserve it. Salvation is actually an individual making a decision to accept Christ as their Savior and their Lord. Now, some people add to that. They say, yes, you have to accept Christ, but you have to be a member of our church. Or you have to be a member of our denomination. Or you have to be Catholic, or you have to be Baptist, or you have to be Jewish, or you have to be something else. The Bible does not say that whatsoever. It says, "Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." It didn't say anything about any denomination, and it didn't say anything about works. Works is something that a person does after they're saved. You cannot work to get saved. The only work acceptable to God for salvation is the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary when he shed his blood. He was buried and rose again on the third day. Now, you can believe a lot of things in the world if you want to, but that is the way to eternal presence with God, is through Christ. He said, "I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." Now, I went into detail last time about how God presented this to the Israelites in Egypt. He had them kill a lamb, take that blood, put it on the doorpost of their houses, and when the death angel went by, he did not go into the houses that were marked with blood. And the issue is, if when you become a Christian, your heart is marked with the blood of Jesus Christ. So you are his forever. Now, the reason I know you're his forever is because Jesus said, very simply, that no man or nothing is going to pluck you out of his hand. The Father said the same thing. He said, "No one can pluck you out of my hand." So you have two hands holding you for eternity. But the issue is, do you know Jesus Christ? If you do not have a desire for Christ, or desire for the Word of God, or a desire to live for Christ, then you should check and see if you know him as your Savior. But anyway, when you're saved, then God has the next step for you. Now, right up here I have the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's the things that we battle on this earth. Not in heaven, on this earth. When we're in Egypt, when we're lost, we are captive by the world. Okay? Once you are saved, then you go into what we call the wilderness, or boot camp is another name for it. In other words, God will take you into a place in your life where you're going to learn the ways of the flesh and the devil, and you're going to then battle those things, and that's what we're talking about. He has a place for you to go. The place for us to go is called the Promised Land. That's not heaven. That's a person that's gone through the wilderness and learned the ways of God and then gets into the battle of the world. There's no battle, really, unless you take in the things of God. The wilderness represents the flesh. And in the wilderness of your life, God will bring various things to teach you that, as I said last time, the world doesn't revolve around you. That's the number one thing. After we're saved, we need to understand the world doesn't revolve around us. It revolves around Jesus. You see. Now, the scripture in that area is, Jesus said, if you're going to come to me, you're going to have to deny yourself. That's the wilderness experience. Take up your cross and follow me. That's what he said, three things. Where do you deny yourself? You deny yourself in the wilderness while you're learning, while you beget to know Christ. Philippians 3:10 says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, become conformable unto his death, if by any means I obtain unto the resurrection life in this world, which is the promised land. Now, in the wilderness, you're going to get to know Jesus. You're going to get to know his ways. You're going to get to know his Bible. You're going to get to know the manual, which we call the Bible. You're going to get to know the Word of God. You're going to hear the Word of God preached. You're going to learn the things of Jesus. In other words, if you were in military training, you would learn how to defeat the enemy. That's what you do. That's what we teach here, how to defeat the enemy. We've just gone through a whole almost year of training about salvation, about healing, about deliverance from the enemy. And every Christian ought to know these things. You can get into the wilderness and stay there the rest of your life. Will you go to heaven? If you're a Christian, yes. But will you receive rewards and will you accomplish what God wants you to accomplish on this earth? No, you will not. Somebody says, well, you have to go to church. That's where the training is. That's where the training is. You come to learn the things of God. You get to know him. You get to know his ways. You begin to be like him. That's what it is. What Jesus wants is a whole lot of his people running around on this earth being like Jesus. That's what he wants. Now, does that mean we're perfect? No. But what it does mean, to do the works of Jesus Christ. Now, you learn that in the wilderness experience. When Israel went into the wilderness, there were 2 to 3 million of them. They went into the wilderness. They had nothing but the clothes on their back, a few belongings that they brought with them, and maybe food for 2 or 3 days. That's all they had. They went out into a desert place where there was nothing. What was the point? Why would God do that? He's going to show them how he will take care of them when they're battling the world, the flesh, and the devil. He's going to show them that they can rely on him. The first thing they needed water. So God told Moses, strike the rock. He struck the rock. Enough water came out of a rock to give drink to 2 to 3 million people out in the desert. Only God can do that. They were learning to depend on God. If you go through your Christian experience depending on yourself, you will never get to the place that God wants you to be. Are you listening? There's a lot of things you can do on your own, but I'll tell you one thing you can't do on your own, the works of God. You have to have Jesus working through you. You have to have God. The Bible says when we're saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live within us. Now, so the boot camp is a place where you're going to know Christ, you're going to know his ways, you learn the Bible, you do the basic things we talked about last time, which is we read the Bible on a daily basis, we go to church and learn the things of God, we pray, and we are concerned, we take on Christ's concern for a lost world. We're not just concerned about us, we're concerned about other people. You learn that in the wilderness, you see. You learn that right in that place. So, also another thing in the wilderness is you become a disciple. The word disciple means discipline. You become a disciplined one so that God can call upon you in the situation he wants you to be and ask you to do something for him. You have to be disciplined to do that. You can't be all tied up in yourself. You have to be willing to help other people and do and to bless other people. And you're going to learn that experience in the wilderness. Now, there's no real battle in the wilderness other than to become a disciple and to take the spotlight off of yourself and put it on Jesus. That's basically what the wilderness is all about. Now, for Israel, it would have taken about 10 days to do that, but they murmured and complained and carried on, said, oh, they always wanted to go back to Egypt, all this kind of stuff. And you find Christians like that. You say, well, I don't think I like the way this is going. I was more comfortable back in the world. You can go back in the world if you want to, but you'll never accomplish the plan of God in your life for you. Because when you stand before Jesus Christ, and you will, after you pass from this world, he's going to ask you if you did what he called you to do. Now, he didn't call us all to do the same thing. I'm going to talk about that in just a second here now. But I want you to know, God has a way of doing things. Man has a way of doing things. God's way is better. I said God's way is better. All right, now. So we're learning here at church to become disciples. We're learning it on Wednesday night. We're learning it on Sunday night. We're learning it on Sunday morning. I realize everybody can't go to all those services, but you can get the CDs of them and learn during the week because it's very important to learn the Word of God. Now, when you get to the Promised Land, that's where the warfare is. Somebody says, whoa, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. It'd be like somebody being drafted, they don't draft anymore, but if somebody in the service and they're going through boot camp and say, well, that wasn't too bad. Then they say, okay, you're assigned to Iraq. Whoa, wait a minute, Lord. I didn't mind the training, but I'm not sure I'm going to like the warfare. Well, I'm going to tell you a little thing that's happened to your life that you didn't even realize. I'm going to tell you in just a minute. In the Promised Land, which for Israel was a place called Canaan, which is called Israel today, it was a large place. They didn't take it all. They only took 10% of what God gave them. 10% is all they took. God's plan for them, they only took 10%. Now, there were several in the wilderness that didn't want to do what God wanted them to do. They died in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. You can die in the wilderness. A lot of Christians die in the wilderness. Never get to the place that God called them to go to. And I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about on this earth. Mm-hmm. Now, here it was receiving Christ. Here it's knowing Christ. Here it's following Christ. You see. That's the issue. We get to the place. You get a call to pray for somebody or go to the hospital or do something. Help somebody in some way. And you say, yes, Lord. You say, yes, Lord. It's not all about me. It's about what Jesus wants. Now, here, you became a disciple. Now you're here, you're going to make disciples. Are you listening to me? You see, that's the difference. You become a disciple here, or a disciplined one, and here, you make disciples. Now, I want to concentrate on this part this morning. So go to Matthew 28, verse 19. Everybody knows this verse. They call it the Great Commission. But how many ever do it? You see, that's the issue. This is not an elective. This is a requirement of God. Every single person's required to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, it says, well, let's go to verse 18, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority is given me in heaven and earth. Now, right there, that says Jesus is in charge of everything. There it is. The Father gave it to him. Now, he can do with it what he wants to. You know what he wants to do? Give it to us. He wants to give it to us. But you have to learn how to walk in it. You have to get ready for it. Okay? All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore. And most of the Bible say, and teach all nations, but it says in the Greek, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Jesus said, I'm going to be with you until you're with me. I like that part. Now, what he says is, now you teach others what I've taught you. So you have to learn it, then you teach somebody else. It's a very simple process. Businesses use that all the time. They train you, and then you train somebody else. And then they train somebody else, and they train somebody else. But some people never get out of the wilderness. They never become a disciple. They get lazy, and they kind of float between the world and the wilderness all the time, and they never accomplish what God wants them to accomplish. Now, here is the problem that every single one of us have that nobody can get away with, and I'm going to explain what has happened. While Israel was in Egypt, they were there for 400 years, the devil was planting landmines in the promised land. He was planting people in the promised land that when Israel came, they would be destroyed. Now, I'm going to explain that. He did the same thing to you and I. Now, in the promised land, he put the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and all those vites. He put all those different people. They all represent different things we have to battle in the Christian life. Now, I'm going to explain that, what they are, in just a minute. Now, when did God do that in your life? He did it in your great-great-grandfather, your great-grandfather, excuse me, your grandfather and your father. Your great-great-grandmother, your grandmother, and so on down the line. The Bible says that these things come upon you to sometimes even 10 generations back. In other words, Satan planted sins and sicknesses and things in your life before you were ever born, because there is such a thing as family curses. They come down from your family line. You can call them, if you want, excuse me, family weaknesses, family sins, whatever. Maybe your great-grandfather was a bank robber. Your grandfather wasn't a bank robber, but he cheated on his taxes. You got it? Your father maybe didn't cheat on his taxes, but maybe he cheated his employer while he's working for him. And so that tendency comes down to you. That weakness comes down to you. And that is one of the things you're going to battle in the promised land. Now, maybe your father was an alcoholic, but you used drugs. It's all the same. It was something Satan designed in your life. Number one, you either wouldn't be saved, never come to Christ in the first place, or if you did, you'd stay in the wilderness, all messed up, in those family weaknesses. Now, it could be lying. That was Abraham's family's problem. Abraham lied, Isaac lied, Jacob lied. They got worse as they went along. That's what usually happens. What the parents do in moderation, the children do in excess. Are you listening to me? Parent says, oh, I know this is sin, but just a little thing, and I just do it every once in a while. Well, your children may do it all the time. Are you listening to me? This is what Satan has done. He has planted landmines in your life before you were ever born. You didn't have anything to do with it, but he did it. He had the right to do it because of Adam's sin. So it comes down to you, and it comes down to me. So what is God's plan? One of his plans is that you're going to learn in the wilderness, and you're going to go in the promised land and fight these things in your life and overcome them in the power of Jesus Christ. That's it. You see, I can tell you that every single one of us have this battle. Some win and some lose. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about getting rid of these giants in the land. When Israel sent spies into the land and sent 12 of them, 10 of them came back and said, my goodness, there's giants in the land. It's everything God said it was. It's a wonderful place, but there's giants in there and we can't take them. Two guys said, Joshua and Caleb, we can go in. We have the Lord. We can take it with no problem at all. Are you listening to me? And so you say, so Christians are always, after they get saved, they keep saying, I don't understand why I have this problem in my life. I don't know why I fight this addiction all the time. I don't know why I have a problem not telling the truth. I don't know why I can't seem together. I'm saved, but there's something wrong. Well, I'll tell you what's wrong. The minefields that were planted in your life through your ancestors before you were ever born. Are you listening to me? Some Christians do not understand this. The only reason I do is I've dug into it and I've studied people that understand it and all kinds of things. My thing is to find out what God wants you to know and to teach you. And that's what I do. And this is a major one. Don't, please stay awake today because this is so important. Somebody says, I don't understand why I have this weakness, in my life. Maybe it's migraine headaches. Maybe it's some other thing. A lot of this stuff comes from your family line. God wants to heal it, but he wants you to know him so that you will allow him to work in your life in this world, because the more you conquer now, the more you're going to have of the inheritance of God in heaven. I hope you're listening to me. Because the Bible says some are just going to squeak into heaven. They're not going to have any rewards. They're not going to all this. But some are going to have, be over 3 cities, 10 cities, whatever. And so God has a definite plan for every Christian. And it's not to get saved and stay the same. You see, it is to keep on moving in the things of God. It's to get into the warfare and let God help you win and be victorious. That's the plan. And every single one of us can be if we follow the plan of God. Now, what some people do, I'm going to tell you, they're Christians, but they just stay real busy in the world and haven't got time for God. You listening to me? I just got too much going on, just don't have time for God, you know. Or the only place you're educated in is some place where they don't teach you about God. I'm talking to public schools.
That's right.
Today. Didn't used to be that way. When I went to public schools, they sang Christmas songs about Jesus at Christmas time. And they celebrated Thanksgiving, and it wasn't Thank the Indians Day or some dumb thing.
Get on it, brother.
You see? And a lot of us We are educated by secular television.
Don't tell it, brother.
I'm not asking for a show of hands. And secular books. There's a million books out there. But there's only a certain ones about Jesus. What are we going to read? You see. Fill our minds with the good things. Now, those are basic things. Or you can be addicted to sports, or you can be addicted to playing, and you'll be addicted to making money, or you can be addicted to pleasure, and you say, well, I just don't have time for God. Well, when you stand before Jesus, give him that answer and see how it goes over. And then in the wilderness, we're so full of ourselves that we haven't got any room for God. Are you listening? We're just so filled up with us that we haven't got room for God. And we only call on God when we need him, and every once in a while we do. We're murmuring, complaining, and carry on. Always looking back. Oh, I remember when. God is not interested in remembering when. He's interested in following him. Or not remembering when. He's interested in following him. Are you listening? All those things are past. You can't change them, good or bad. The past is the past. You can't change yesterday. You can't change 5 minutes from now. Ago. And so we have got to be looking forward at what God is doing and keep looking. There's scriptures on some of this, but let's look real quick, Deuteronomy 6. Hopefully I'm going to have time to do this. Okay, let's look at Deuteronomy 6, because I'm going to show you something in a minute that I think will be quite interesting to you. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Okay. Now, let's go to verse 6. This stuff is just basic things. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk in the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them upon your hands, and they shall be frontlets for your eyes. And it shall be, now look at this, verse 10, this is for every single one of us, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought you into the land. That's what I'm talking about, the promised land, which he swore unto your fathers and Abraham, Isaac. He's talking about the Jews here, but it talks about us too. And he said, verse 12, don't you forget the Lord, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Now, so the point is, you read through all of this, Numbers and all that, the thing was, Israel, get into the land. Israel, go through the desert, go into the land. I have a place for you. I have a work for you. I have a thing I want you to do. It's going to be pleasing to me. It wasn't the same for all of them. Some of them had this part of the land. Others had this part of the land. Others had this part of the land. It wasn't the same for everybody. Just find out what God wants you to do in your life and be pleasing to him. Not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody's a Sunday school teacher and all these other things. The issue is, find out what God has for you. How do you find out? You get into the Word of God and pray and get around God's people. I say you get into the Word of God, you pray, and you get around God's people. You don't isolate yourself someplace and say, I don't want to be around anybody. Well, shrivel up and die.
That's what happened.
But you see, I didn't say you were going to hell. I just said you're not going to accomplish what God wants you to do. He's got things in your life he wants you to conquer, and then he wants you to help other people conquer the things in their life. He wants your family saved. He wants your friends saved. He wants your neighbors saved. He wants all of these people saved. How's he going to do it? The angels? No. He's going to do it with you and I, as we're at the same time we're battling the giants in our own life. He says, touch somebody else. You see, because there's never a time you're not going to be fighting some giant someplace. And so we get into this thing. So we need to get out of Egypt through the wilderness. And I got a lot of the scriptures, but I won't take time for all of it. You can read these things in Deuteronomy and Numbers and Joshua and all that kind of thing. Now the promised land is the place where we're going to do the battle. How many knows in the Christian life there's battles? How many know that? Okay, absolutely correct. Now I'm going to tell you, look in Joshua 3 and verse 9. He's going to tell us what the battles are. Joshua 3. If you don't know where Joshua 3 is, ask somebody. Don't be so full of yourself you can't ask somebody. Woo. This message today is guaranteed to upset somebody. I'm old enough, I don't care.
Me neither.
Joshua chapter 3 and verse 9. I want you blessed is what I want. Joshua 3, here it is. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. You know what's interesting? God's speaking to all those folks back there, and people today say, God just doesn't speak today. You ever hear this thing, have you got your ears on? He's speaking. You need to be listening. So hear the words of the Lord. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and the Electricites. Anyway, they're all in there. And so that's the deal. God wants you to defeat these enemies in your life. Now listen to me. If you defeat the enemies in your life, it won't go on down through the rest of your generations. Are you listening? It won't go down through the rest of your generations. And I'm telling you right now, you need to teach these to your children. They need to know what the weaknesses are. This nonsense about children learn on their own nonsense is exactly what it is. We are to teach our children. We are to train our children. We are to prepare our children to get saved, to get through the wilderness, and start battling in the promised land. Now, you don't have to write all these down, but I'm going to tell you there's 10 enemies. They aren't all 10 there. If you look in other places in the Bible, there's 10 of them. And you say, that's an interesting number. What's 10 mean? Well, you know, it's very interesting. The Antichrist in the Revelation is going to have 10 nations. Isn't that interesting? Satan never has a new plan. It's always the same old nonsense. But it works. Now, the Canaanites represent the occult, the new age, immorality, sorcery, and addictions. The Hittites, fear and discouragement. How many ever battle a Hittite every once in a while? Fear and discouragement. That's all? I don't believe a word of it. Yo, you're writing it down. I see. That's why you didn't raise your hand. Okay. The Hivites, living in confusion, no direction for your life, double-mindedness. You can't make decisions. The Perizzites, blinded by tradition. That's a good one. Blinded by tradition. That's where a lot of churches are. Fear of change. I want to ask for a show of hands on that one. Fear of change.
Jerry, why don't we make a copy of this verse?
Yeah, I'll make a copy. I'll have you make a copy. They couldn't read it. They couldn't read mine. Yeah, right. Okay. If any of these fit, wear them. You know what I'm saying? These shoes fit. Okay. Girgashites. Anger, strife, violence, and bitterness. Now the issue is, if you, in your life, consistently live in any of these things, a demonic spirit will attach himself to you. Guess what a demonic spirit's name is of anger? Anger. Somebody says, "Well, I'm not too bad. I live a pretty good life." Well, let's get the machine that shows how many demons are hanging on to your big toe. You see what I'm saying? They have a right to be there, but we are learning in this church how to get rid of them.
That's right.
If you got termites in your house, you're not going to say, "Oh well, they, as long as they stay in their part of my house and I'll stay in mine, we'll be okay." No, you get the exterminator to get them out of there.
Amen.
And you want to know why church is in such a mess? Because there's a lot of demons running around. Are you listening to me? They're real nice in church, praising God and everything else, get home and just go nuts. Get angry with somebody in the family, you know, abuse them verbally and all this business, and totally defeated Christians never get out of the wilderness because they don't understand what's going on here. Amorites, pride, desire for the praise of men, worship of man, materialism. Jebusites, pollution of the mind, control of the mind, false doctrine, deception. Kenizzites, hunters of God's people. They hunt down God's people and keep them in addictions, so they either don't accept Christ, or if they do accept Christ, they don't do anything for Christ.
What was that, Jerry?
That is the Kenizzites. Yeah, they all these are Zites. Kenizzites, hunters of God's people. It's kind of like Nimrod in the Bible, if you notice. He was a hunter, but he was a hunter of God's people to keep them away from the Lord. Kadmonites, pride of self. That's a big one. You ever heard somebody that cad? You ever hear that? That's where we got this. Very interesting. Pride of self, self-worship, ancient and Eastern religions, mystery cults, and then Kenites, taking by force, violence, and a word you hear all the time today, terrorism. Very interesting. So what of the terrorists, one of the traits they have a spirit of terrorism. That's what they have. That's what we're dealing with. Now, the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, take by force or violence or terrorism. Now, the issue is that God wants you to get to the point where you're strong enough in the Lord that you're not taking all your time learning to be a disciple. You become one. And then you start discipling somebody else. So, you know, I've heard these Christians say, "Well, I go to church, but I just kind of stay to myself, mind my own business." And, you know, well, God has a definite plan. You know what Jesus did? It's the strangest thing he did. It's like, he got 12 guys and discipled them. One of them was a devil. He knew that.
That's right.
He discipled these guys, and one day he said, "Okay, guys." And what he did, he demonstrated with them. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He did all these things that people say that God's not doing today. And then he did all these things. And then one day he said, okay, guys, you go out and do it. And they said, whoa, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. You want us to do this? You're God. He said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go before you. I want you to go out now, and I want you to bring people to me. I want you to pray for healing for people, and they'll be healed. I want you to deliver people from these giants in the land of their life, and then I want you to make disciples. He said, you do it. They went out and did it, and then they went out, and they made disciples, and pretty soon there were 70. And they went out and did it, and pretty soon there was 120. And those 120 went out and to do it, and in one day, 3,000 got saved. And then those 3,000 learned this, and they went out, and one day, 5,000 got saved. And by the time the Apostle Paul died, which was about 100 A.D., the whole world knew about Jesus Christ because these people understood the plan of God for them. Amen. I'm not the least bit interested in making a Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic, or anything else out of anybody. I want to make Christians. I want to make people that will do the plan of God. And somebody says, well, I don't have a desire to do any of that stuff. Well, if you died in 5 minutes, would you go to heaven or hell? I mean, you've missed the whole thing. Some people say, well, I'll just live a good life and I'll be okay. I don't think so. The ticket into heaven's Christ.
That's right.
What he did, not what you're doing. We do what we do because of what he did. You understand? That's the plan of God. I don't know how many years you have. Jesus may come in 3 years. He may come in five. He may come in 5 months. I have no idea. Otherwise, you might have another 20 or 30 years to live. What are you going to do with it? The only thing that counts is what you do for Christ. I said the only thing that counts is what you do for Christ. The rest of it is all going to be gone. Most of us spend 80% of our life doing stuff that's going to be burned up when we stand before the throne of God. And that's a fact. Now, I didn't say we shouldn't be learning, that shouldn't have a job and prepare and provide for our families and do all of that stuff. That's part of life. But the issue is we should take time to... We should take time to do the things of God, because that's what he's going to ask you about. He's going to ask you, did you teach your children and grandchildren about Jesus? Did you fight the giants in your life and conquer them in Jesus Christ? Did you make disciples of people that did not know the Lord, and then they got saved, and then they were discipled? That's what the whole thing's all about. And when you become a follower of Jesus, then you're going to be ready for heaven.
That's right.
When you become a follower of him. Jesus said very simply, follow me. If you watch what Jesus did, he died. And that's the point. Die to everything that's not like Jesus. You say that's tough. Yes, it is. That's what's required. There isn't anybody playing in the National Football League today that didn't go through tremendous trials and training and bodybuilding and everything else imaginable. They gave their life to that project, or they wouldn't be there. Are you listening to me? Michael Phelps gave up how many years of his life to be the greatest swimmer that ever lived? Gave up years of his life, training every single day, getting up early in the morning, training all day long, He lived and he would sleep with swimming on his mind. And we're supposed to be living and sleeping with Christ on our mind. We are supposed to become like Jesus. That's the issue. There isn't any other. If there was, I would tell you. I will try to help you get there by what we teach and by the training we do and that kind of thing. But it takes concentration. It takes dedication. It takes, I'm going to decide, I'm going to be like Jesus, and I'm going to do the works he did, and I'm going to do them wherever he puts me. Not everybody is going to be in a church of 10,000, and you're not any better off in a church of 10,000 if that isn't where God wants you. You see, if God wanted me in a bigger church, he'd put me in one. Are you listening to me? So I'm supposed to bloom where I'm planted. I'm supposed to be the best I can where I'm at. Are you listening to me? And that's the same thing with you and I. He's not asking you to be Billy Graham. He's asking him to be you, filled with Jesus, following him until he comes for his church. That's the issue. There is no other issue. That's it. And so, oh, we're supposed to be at the same time that we're going through battles in life, we're supposed to be a model of Jesus Christ. If we mess up, we get right back up, we confess it to the Lord, and keep on moving. If somebody gets knocked down on the football field, they don't just go off and say, well, I guess I'll play the next game. No, they get it together and get back in the game. That's what you and I are to do, you see. And so we have to know what God wants. He has a plan. Egypt, we're lost, we get saved, wilderness, we get to know Christ, promised land, we follow Christ and be like him on this earth. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Let's stand before the Lord.